This past week, I actually in the last 3 weeks, two of those weeks I had to spend in Cincinnati, Ohio. That's where I was born and raised, and my mother is still there. She's 93, and she's been in and out of the hospital four times in the last month, and twice in the last 2 weeks. And so I've been up there to be with her during her time in the hospital. I have a sister, but my sister has MS, and I have a brother, and my brother also has MS, and he's in the nursing home too. So I'm kind of, though I'm 68 years old, sort of the spry one of the family, right? So I was up there, and the hospital that my mother was in, I remember from when I was a child. It was part of the fiber of the community. The Sisters of Charity ran it, and many of my family were born there, including my sister and brother, and not me. The name of the hospital is Good Samaritan Hospital. And it dawned on me as I was preparing for this morning's little homily that that the story of the Good Samaritan is so much a part of the fiber of our community, right? Who in here can't almost tell that story verbatim? It appears in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Though in different contexts and with different spins. Here in St. Luke's Gospel, we experience that reading, and I think we can just sort of, in a sense, take it for granted or think, well, that's a cool lesson, and, you know, we grew up with it, and we can all tell the story, and, you know, and in some senses miss the huge import that Jesus was trying to lay upon us, and I think today is laying upon us as well. When you unpack the story a little bit, I had the privilege of visiting the Holy Land last year with my wife and daughter and some pilgrims from Trinity, downtown, midtown. And I remember making the trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, and it says it's down. Really, it's going a little bit north, but it's heading toward the Dead Sea. So it's going down the mountain, down the hill, to a lower altitude. And in fact, the lowest on earth, the Dead Sea is. So it's going down. And as you go down, it gets more and more arid, more and more dry, hotter and hotter. It's a scorching sun. You know, and I'm sure that that's what Jesus, when he made up this story, right? The lawyer came to him on his way to Jerusalem from the north. So they were north of Jerusalem when he told this story to the lawyer. And he made up the story. And he said, well, now there's a guy going down the hill from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jericho's near a little bit north of the Dead Sea, but way down there. And he falls upon bad times, right? He gets beat up and robbed. And the guy's probably a Jew, right? Everybody assumes that the guy is part of the community, right? He gets robbed. And so what happens is, first the priest, you know, so the best of the Hebrew community, right? The two people that Jesus could pull out of his brain as kind of the images of the best we have to offer in our community, you know, the priest and whatever, they walk by. But Jesus then says, then there was this Samaritan, which, by the way, is about the worst that Jesus could pull out of his head, right? Because the Samaritans were those people from up north. They were the other guys. They were the guys that were demeaned and people talked very derogatorily toward. They were the Samaritans. And they, you know, they were foreigners. They were literally foreigners, but they shared, of course, some of the culture. So Jesus says, and then there was this Samaritan, you know, and the Samaritan had pity. And he goes through the whole spiel, you know, what the Samaritan did to care for this Jewish guy, right? So the power of this little story that Jesus is saying is in our face in some senses this morning. Jesus is telling this smart lawyer who's trying to trick him, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, If you want to make the kingdom of God present here and now on the earth, if you want to make a difference, then you have to become not like the best of the Hebrew community, but in some ways you have to emulate this foreigner, this guy who is foreign in so many ways to our culture. And I'm sorry if that becomes offensive, but that's what Jesus was saying in this story. That is the message that this Jesus of ours was telling this lawyer. And the lawyer seemingly got it. And Jesus was being true to the tradition. Because in Amos, in the first reading that we read here this morning, we saw that same kind of dynamic. Amos is one of the 12 minor prophets in the Old Testament, and probably the earliest. The book of Amos was written probably in the 8th century before Jesus. So one of the earliest of all the prophets, predating Isaiah and the biggies that we know, right? But Amos' story was pretty similar. Because if we read closely what we heard today, we hear Amos tearing at the fiber of this Hebrew community that refuses to take care of its poor. Of this Hebrew community that refuses to do justice. Of this Hebrew community that is run by a bunch of people who don't care about ordinary folks. And Amos is saying, this is going to fall apart for you all. If you want to be godly, this is not the way to do it. And Amos, the prophet, says, Israel will fall. And by the way, this comes shortly after the exile. So Israel will fall. And people don't, of course, want to hear that, because the system is what the system is. And as long as the system is there, people buy into it. They give themselves to it. And Amos is saying, stand up for justice. And then he predicts, you know, that the priest will no longer be able to function as a priest because his wife is going to be rendered a prostitute. And the guy who runs the country will no longer be able to run the country because of all kinds of stuff that's going to happen to him. Not particularly the message that they wanted to hear from the prophet. And so in some level, all of us are called, you know, to look into our own lives, because it's all we have, right? It's what we can change. It's who we are. And I think we're being called just to examine, how is it that we are in relationship to each other? Who is foreigner to me? Bob Flick. Who is it that I, in some senses, have antipathy toward, or maybe even despise? Certainly have difficulty understanding. Maybe I even have ways of slurring or making fun of them. Who is that sort of can get under my skin, even if I don't know who they are, or can't name a name, or put a name to a face? And Jesus is saying, go there. Because there's something to be learned by embracing your neighbor. Because this gospel is saying neighborliness transcends oftentimes our sort of working definition. That neighbors in the kingdom of God have no boundaries, have no walls, have no borders, have no colors, have nothing of the kinds of things that oftentimes can divide us or separate us or cause us to somehow fracture the human experience. where the kingdom of God and the life and death and resurrection of Jesus is for all of us. You and me and virtually everybody out there. Everybody. And it is not ours to determine who's in and who's out. It is ours to work very hard at somehow making sure that we are neighborly, that we become the Good Samaritan, that we somehow become that foreigner who decides to take care of this Jew. That we become somehow that individual whose pity, whose mercy, and whose love transcends every boundary. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. And that's what we are called into. That was the challenge that this young lawyer got in the face of Jesus. And I believe, at some very deep level, it's the challenge that I'm getting as I walk through this week with these scriptures. And perhaps all of us are challenged in some way by how it is that we become. We don't hear this story or have it become part of the fiber of our community or tell it to our children or our grandchildren or whatever. And isn't this a wonderful story? But we become, as Jesus called this young lawyer, we become this Samaritan to the world around us. Amen.